following podcast is a presentation of Sunridge Community Church.
Just open up our time. We're in a series called Improv. It's a walk through the book of Proverbs, and we've worked to just try and take themes. This morning, we're dealing with the issue of tell the truth, and there's a article in Maclean's that I came across last month, and it just kind of sets the context as to what we're going to be talking about here. It's a bit of a strange article, but it talks about there was a study done in Toronto recently where they were talking about the younger a child can lie, the more successful they will be in life. If you don't believe me, this is exactly what the article says. It says, don't be alarmed if your toddler doesn't always tell the truth. You may be looking at a future CEO. According to new research out of the University of Toronto, kids who lie early in life are more likely to succeed in life later. Why? Because fibbing requires high-level manipulative thinking. Goes on to say in this article, everybody grows up to lie anyway. Maybe we can get them to lie a little earlier for success to come their way. This is very sad to me. They piggyback this article with some findings that they saw in London, London Science Museum. They did a study where they determined that the average man, men, we've got to stand up and take this one in the chin, the average man tells at least 3 lies a day. The average woman tells 2. That's, of course, if the women are telling the truth. Woo! You gotta love me or you can't go to heaven. Women, let's talk a little bit about this subject matter. I want to just start by saying, you know, if you talk to employers and you ask them what it is that they would want most in the employee that they hire, guess what it is? That they tell the truth, that they're honest. If you ask employees what they would like for their employer, number one on the chart would be that they would tell the truth, that they'd be honest. You sit with enough people that are longing to be married to someone, their perfect partner in life, you ask them what it is that's most important to them. It's that they're honest, they'll tell the truth, that they won't betray, that they'll keep the promise. They'll keep the promise of till death do us part. You ask best friends, how is it that they've been able to go through life and stick together, they'll probably say something along the lines, you know, we tell the truth. We tell the truth to one another. And I just, as I look at the world, whether it be political or whatever area of life in the world I see these days, I have seen a distaste at a very high level to deceitfulness. Would you agree? I mean, it just seems like that's the thing that drives people crazy when people lie. Can you remember a time in your life where you were lied to and it cut you so badly, so deeply, just a real stinger in your life? Can you remember a time where you were just lied to? Where you just say, I just hate it when that happens. And you feel like standing on a soapbox and just yelling at the top of your lungs, would everybody just stop lying and start telling the truth? Just for your information, God would really support that. He's always supported that. As far back as in the Ten Commandments, number 9 of the Big Ten says in Exodus chapter 20, verse 16, you must not lie. Stop it. It must end. Don't lie. Tell the truth. God knew way back then that there's no way that a relationship could even make it if we don't tell the truth. So what I've done is I've just gone through the book of Proverbs, and there's these nuggets, these little nuggets that just, they have this potent statement about whatever theme, and this theme this morning is about telling the truth. And so I have some verses I just want to lift in front of you. I want to challenge us to really see into this. What is it that God is saying to you and I? But here's what I want to do. I just want to lift these things. The first couple are a little bit subtle. No, they're not really at all. Here's what the first one is. It's Proverbs chapter 6, verse 12. It says this. Here's a description of worthless and wicked people. Okay, if we're a little confused. They're constant liars. Proverbs 10, verse 31 says, the godly person gives wise advice, but the tongue that deceives will be cut off. The writer of Proverbs is saying, hey, let's just help out the guy that's lying. Somebody got a scalpel? You know, we'll stop this really, really quickly. Listen to the book of Proverbs when it talks about, and it describes the devastating thing that takes place when we lie. And the first one, it's toward God. It just devastates the relationship with God. It says in Proverbs 12, verse 22, the Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in men who are truthful. Lying lips disgust God. And we have to understand that when we lie, we wreck our relationship with God. We all know this. But I don't know if we feel this. So the first thing that the writer of Proverbs really says is it's lying is going to do some devastating things with your relationship with God. But secondly, it's going to do some devastating things with our relationship with other people. I can't tell you how many times, you know, people's hearts get broken because somebody else broke a promise. You know, you hear, she promised, Mike, she promised that she'd be faithful. As his husband sobs when he finds out that his wife wasn't. Or a teenager that just can't understand why yet again his dad came back drunk when conversation after conversation his dad promised that he wouldn't do it again. Contractors these days where they say, Mike, you know, we did the work. We did it well. And then we're told we're not going to get paid. Because, well, they say they don't have the money. On and on and on it goes where these hurts are taking place all around us. So Proverbs says, boy, this thing about lying, it will wreck your relationship with God and it will wreck the relationships with people, marriages, family, friends, your children. Just out of curiosity, if survey is true where men lie every day three times, women twice, can you remember the last big one you did? The last biggie. There's a lot of different flavors in lie. I want to just, you know, make sure that it's not just the big ones, because that is a part of it. But there's a lot of different flavors that lies come in. Here's three. First one, let's just call them, well, there's the half-truth. Here's the way that these ones sound like. Let's do lunch sometime. We might as well all confess we've done that one. Here's another one. I'll pay you back soon. What does that mean? It means you're not going to. That's what it means. I'll pay you back soon. Here's another one. Could I just have 1 minute of your time? Half-truths. It's a flavor. It's one of those that, you know, we'd really have to think a little bit about. Here's another one. Let's just call this one exaggeration. You ever exaggerate the truth? You ever take a story and just spin it? You spin it so that it's a little grander than it really is or a little less than it really is? Like, you just, you give it a spin. Friends, it's a flavor. It's not telling the truth. It's an important one. Exaggeration. Here's another one. This is when you and I, we find that we just get ourselves into a heap load of trouble. And we just tell a big one. I mean, we just out and out lie. So let me ask you, you know, how, when you lie, what the last time you can really recall like a lie that you just told, what is it that you felt? You know, if you think back to that lie, what is it that you felt inside? Because most of us feel There's something of a pain or an upset, kind of a sick feeling in our stomach. It's just what it is. You know, often it's accompanied by a little bit of heat on the back of the neck. But here's the most awkward part, and that is, where do you put your eyes? Well, you're telling a lie. Where are you going to place your eyes? You only got two options. The first option is you're gonna look at that person straight in their eye, and you're gonna just give one. You're gonna give a lie. The problem with that one is that's just, wow, that's industrial strength. That's a big lie. And there's a lot of us that would have problem with that approach. We can't do it. So the other alternative is we are everywhere but looking at the individual. We are shifting, we're nervous, our eyes are kind of rolling all over the place. And the problem with this approach is that we fear we're going to get caught. Because we know, oh no, I don't know where to look and I'm nervous. And what do you feel when you tell a whopper of a lie? Either way, we're going to see, and you probably already know, anytime we lie, it's messy business. And sometimes we don't know why. I want us to really understand why. Here's why. The truth of the matter is that God has created you and I in the image of a truth-telling God. And the truth is that there's a God that has created you and I, and he's a holy God. And there's no way that our God who has created us is capable of a lie. And if we're made in the image of this same God, it's no wonder that there's going to be a messiness that takes place within us. Because God has designed us to be in his image. And so when we do bring deception and a deceit and not telling the truth, there's something that goes against the way that God has even created us to be. This is really important for us to know. It's really important for us to know that God is an honest God, and he tells us the truth always. He's incapable of a lie. And when we lie as a human being, There is something that just is not right because of the way that we were created. So there's really only one thing for us to really learn how to do, and that is we've got to stop lying and we've got to learn to start telling the truth. And I want to walk down Proverbs practical steps a little bit here now. Just what does that look like? For those of us, we're ready and we're just saying, yeah, you know what? This is something I haven't really given too much thought to, but come to think of it, I am a little slippery when it comes to things of the truth. Let's talk a little bit about practical things that the book of Proverbs has to say. Number one practical step is it's simply this. Talk less. Just don't talk as much. This is an interesting thing to think about. It says in Proverbs 10, verse 19, don't talk too much, for it fosters sin. Be sensible and turn off the flow. Okay, let's just look at this a little bit, because I think what the book of Proverbs is really trying to have us understand is that the more conversations that we have, the more lies we're going to tell. So let's look at this graph, and let's just have some fun here a little bit and see what this could look like. Let's just say that we have 500 conversations in a week. So I've just given this the CPW. Conversations per week. So we're gonna be at 500 conversations in a given week. For guys, that might be a little high. For women, that's probably a little low. But you get my point. Just teasing. So let's just say, gotta love me or you can't go to heaven. Okay, so let's just say that 500 conversations stirs up five lies. So our lie predictive index, if you will, is going to give us a five lies per 500 conversations. So the writer of Proverbs would say, well, okay, if we talk less, then we should actually lower our lie quotient. So let's just say we go 300. That would give us three lies per week, conversations per week, we'd have three lies in a given 300 conversations that we'd have. Everybody tracking with me? This is like algebra 10, right? Okay. Everybody tracking with me? I've lost everybody in the room. All right, so let's just say, it's going to actually get very, very sensational around here, just a second. So let's just say, if we have 100 conversations per week, how many lies per week? We'd have one. So here's the beauty. Friends, all we need to do is have 99 conversations per week, and we won't lie. Let's pray and let's go home, eh? All right. So, you may chuckle, but this is the truth. As I really look at my own life and the conversations that I have, the truth of the matter is, friends, honestly, like if I talk less, I do better. If I talk less, you know, I don't spin stories. If I talk less, I don't exaggerate. If I talk less, I don't flippantly make promises that I won't end up fulfilling or say things that I would regret. If I talk less, there is something about what the writer of Proverbs says that actually is quite wise. Now, there's some additional wisdom that the writer of Proverbs gives us, because obviously there has to be a little bit more to it than just that, because our words really do count, we'll see. They can change the direction of a life. It's true for me, and I'm sure for many of you. This is what Proverbs 15, verse 18 says. The heart of the righteous carefully considers how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. In other words, what it's saying, those that are going to use words, but consider what you're going to say more carefully. So here's just a quick question. Who do you think is going to do a better job of truth-telling? The person that carefully considers, or the person that just lets her rip whatever comes into their mind? Easy answer, right? Okay. Well, Proverbs, I think, would say to us, would say to me, would say to you, you know what? You don't have to participate in every conversation. You don't have to express every single thought that just plops into your mind. Carefully consider, the writer of Proverbs says. You know, we'd just do an awful lot better if we just pause and consider carefully, and then we would have a response. And here's a couple of questions that might help us to just get our heads around this a little bit more. Here's the first one. When we're talking about carefully considering, ask this question. Are the words that I'm about to say right now necessary? Because if they're not, then why should I say them? Have you ever been in the presence of a person? They just can't stop talking. And you feel like just, maybe this person is sitting right next to you, I don't know. But I mean, if you feel like saying, you know what, just be quiet. Just be quiet. You know, I think the first question is an important question. Is what I'm about to say, the words I'm about to say, necessary? Because if they're not, why should I say them? That would be a real important pause, and then consider carefully, wouldn't you? Here's a second question. Are the words I'm about to say right now true? Like, just, are they true? And I think, friends, you know, those are two very, very simple things. But if we would pause and carefully consider just those two, are they necessary and are they true? Can you imagine how that would change the way you and I use our words? We would become far more truth tellers. So the first step that Proverbs talks to us about, and that is just talk less. Here's the second thing. I think I've just said, tell the truth even if it costs. And this is a hard one. For me these days, you know, as I look at telling the truth and where I'm at in my maturity of telling the truth, You know, honestly, I'm not at the point in my life right now where I have to really guard against telling and weaving these web of deception kinds of lies. Here's where I have to grow. I have to grow in telling the truth to people when we would might call it the hard truth, or where we would call it the... It would be a lot easier to not say everything, just say a part of what I'm wanting to say. I have to mature in the area of actually telling the truth to the people in my life. And here's just a couple of pictures of what that looks like for me. I have a friend who's abusing alcohol and actually wrecking his life. And for the life of me, I can't understand why. I've only had one good conversation with him about it. Like, what's wrong with me? Why am I watching him do this, and yet I'm not really engaged in telling him the truth? I don't know. I have another new friend, you know, getting to know him, and we share some interests in an area of life that has drawn us together, and he's certainly not a person that would go to church. He's not a person that would embrace God in that way, but it's crazy making to me to think that I've not yet one time told him about the person of Jesus, not once. I mean, I haven't even covered the basics. And I think the reason why it is for me is that I prefer calm seas over the rough waves, because I somehow feel that there's going to be something it's going to cost me. It's going to bring some kind of discomfort. Maybe a rejection. But I mean, as I'm studying this passage this week, you know, I really have to understand that I've got to really, really pay attention to this. And that's just what is true about me. I choose peacekeeping over truth-telling, if I can get away with it. Proverbs 3, verse 3. I want us to read this verse together, friends. Let's read this. It says, "Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart." It's really saying this. Don't shrink back from telling the truth. Don't shrink back in your marriage, in your parenting, in your friendships. Like, don't shrink back. And if you have to, you ought to really go out and make yourself a necklace. And on this necklace, you ought to hang it around your neck so that it reminds you, be a truth teller. And if you just understand, I think, for us to understand that the reality of the truth-telling aspect in our life, it is a character former. When we don't tell the truth, there's something inadequate in our character. I think we underestimate what God can do with truthful words in a human being when it's told. And it's certainly true of me. I can't tell you how important it was that there was a friend of mine named Jim who told me the truth. I was living my life all haywire. And I sat in a restaurant in Brownie's Fried Chicken in Abbotsford, and he looked across as we were eating cheeseburger platter. And we worked out together at the gym that Saturday morning, and he looked at me right in the eye. He just says, "Mike, you have got to understand, your life is not right, and you're living way outside the lines. You've rejected God's mercy and grace, and look at you. You're just a party hound. Look at you. You're a mess." And I didn't think I was, but he told me the truth, and he risked a lot. He risked a lot. And there was something about that conversation that just disturbed me such that I began to actually consider, is he right? And as I thought about it, he was. And this wasn't an overnight thing, but I am so grateful that Jim had the guts to tell me the truth. And it was a friend. It wasn't like he was just slashing at me. He just told me the truth. And it was just a significant thing. And there's something that I just really want us to understand about this necklace as well, that we have to understand, this necklace that we have to tie around our neck, that we are truth tellers, That verse in Proverbs says, let kindness and truth. Kindness and truth. There's two words, friends, on this necklace. There's a verse in Ephesians 4, verse 15 says, speaking the truth in love. This is a really important thing that we have to understand, because truth-telling and kindness, grace, love, honest, those have to go together. Combination of truth and love is what gives your and my words a transforming power. So if we have one without the other, man, that's deadly. Like if we go around just telling the truth, but we don't have love and grace, man, yeah, that's fine. We've just given truth. We've just brutalized people. And that's not helpful. That's not what God is calling us to leave bodies all over the trail of life. But then on the other hand, there's some, they just gush love and grace to everyone. They never, though, the problem, they never bring truth. And so what they leave is a trail of sentimentality without any impact or strength. That isn't helpful. That's not going to transform. We need to be committed to two, telling the truth in kindness, in grace, in love. And when we move into the adventure of speaking the truth to one another in love, I believe that there's something that God will take us on this journey. We will become people that really do grow in our ability to reflect more accurately the image of God, the image in which we were created. And I do believe that we would also become people that really learn how to do relationship better and healthier and more secure and more intimate in our relationships. Okay, so here's how I want to kind of wrap this up. I want us to just think a little bit about let's just call it a continuum. I want us to just think a little bit about, you know, if we were to think about our personalities or our typical responses to people, you know, in everyday life, you know, I've just called this the love-truth continuum. And so what I want you to do in your mind's eye, just really very simply, is I want you to take and I want you to think about where you would place yourself along this continuum. You're just wanting to put an X somewhere along this continuum. So, you know, it may be you're the kind of person, you know, that you're strongly on the love side. Maybe it's you're a person strongly on the truth side. But you need to figure that out. You need to ask yourself the question, you know, where would it be that I would tend, you know, to be? Is it, you know, that I really am into the truth thing. I've had no problem with the conversation of this sermon. You know, but here's the way you do truth. You really, really are interested in fixing people. And you want to fix people so bad, you'll fix them right between the eyes. And so you're strong on the truth side. But maybe you're more like the person that would be, you know, just accepting and, you know, that's a really important thing. And you see individuals in your life, people in your life where they're headed for trouble. But you've not figured out a way to in some way say some truth. And you'd put your ex, you know, over here. Maybe you put your ex over here. Where would you put your ex? Where? And once you've done that, I think the necklace is a great picture, because I think the necklace really brings these two traits together. And there's something of a goal that I think Jesus would call us to somehow balance those two out. And that is that we tell the full truth. The full truth. Lovingly. And that somehow this is the target for us. I think this is an amazing thing as I think about, wouldn't it be something, you know, if we were people that would really find a balance to telling the full truth in love and the power that our word in people's lives would be. I'm telling you right now, I wouldn't let my heart get too close to just a truth person because they're probably going to smack me silly. But I don't know if there's any real love there. And I mean, I need the truth in my life. You do in yours. I just don't know if I could take that. And I honestly, I mean, I love people like this too, but I need more than just blind acceptance. I need the rigors of a loving person to tell me the truth. Would you agree? I mean, that's where the strength and that's where the impact is. Imagine what this would do for our families. Imagine what this would do for our friendships. Imagine what this would do for our church and for our schools. Imagine what this would do in the workplace. Truth and love. Truth and love. Tell the truth, the whole truth. The whole truth. With love. This is a very uncomfortable place for some of you. And for me. But the truth is, as lovingly as I can say it, this is what Jesus calls us to. And here's another truth. We can talk about telling the truth. We can look at Proverbs and we can see all these steps. We can see these wise little principles. But friends, I wouldn't be saying the whole truth if I didn't say this. Without Jesus, without the sacrifice that Jesus laid down his life and paid for the price of every single lie that you and I have told, without Jesus, you know, the best that we can do is just be, you know, maybe a little more truthful person, but no transforming power would reside in our heart. The truth is, we need Jesus. And as lovingly as I can say it, friends, you might find yourself here, and you've listened to, you know, this message about telling the truth. And I want to just, as compellingly as I can say, if you're here today, and there's something in your life that is resisting moving toward Jesus, I would really truthfully and as lovingly as I can say, would you please pay attention to that? Why is that there? Because here's why. Jesus only loves you. He only loves you and he wants you to become more like him. He only loves you and he wants to forgive sin. He only loves you and he's very concerned about your character and he's going to allow circumstance in your life. Hard circumstance in your life. It's not easy street. Becoming a Christian is not something that all of a sudden turns the dials that it's now a great life. Anybody in this room that has surrendered to Jesus Christ would say it actually got harder probably. So we don't want to oversell. We just want to tell the truth. We need Jesus. And I pray that those of us that follow Jesus for many, many years, we would listen hard to this word. Because the truth about me is I need Jesus. If I don't have the picture of Jesus in my life, I can very easily forget all these principles. So most importantly, I just want us to just really hear this truth as lovingly as I can say it. If you don't have a surrendered posture to Jesus Christ today, please ask why. And I'm calling you to move toward him. And I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up. And in a way, there's something beautiful about what we want to do. It's something, we're going to sing some songs. And the words of this first song, you know, our God is compassionate and gracious. And he knows every single lie you and I have ever told. And yet he loves us. Isn't that crazy? So I want us, friends, to really move toward Jesus. Respond to him. Ask him a question. What is it that is holding me back from moving toward you right now, Jesus? What is it that I need to just say between you and I? And maybe it's in the singing of a song that you're going to find a freedom come your way, because the truth is we need Jesus. Father in heaven, I just thank you for your word. I thank you for the Bible. I thank you for the book of Proverbs. and what it is saying to me and to us. I pray, God, that we as a people, every individual in this place, understand the power of telling the truth in love. And that we would understand a little about ourselves. We'd have a little self-awareness as to where on that continuum we fall. Are we hard on the truth side, lacking some love? Lord, please speak. Are we really hard on the love end and lacking the ability to tell the truth? Lord, please speak. And may we be people that just understand the prompting of your Spirit in a way, Lord, that is going to grow us and change us. And that we'd be a people, we tell the truth in love. In Jesus' name, amen. I think God is wanting something of all of us to be aware of where we're at on that journey and for us to grow in it. And that's what I really pray. That's what I pray, that all of us would just really experience kind of a walk. And maybe even with this benediction, just to seal this moment so that you can just leave here really, you know, challenged in your spirit. You know, what is it that I need to do differently today, tomorrow, as a result of what I've heard? So may God bless you, and may God keep you. May God smile on you and be gracious to you. May God show you his favor and grant you his peace. And may we be a people that tell the whole truth in love, and in a way, spread the fame and the reputation of our great God in Jesus' name. Amen.